When we often think about the Psalms, we often think of the Psalms that are written by King David or Solomon or others. But this Psalm, Psalm 90, is actually written by Moses. It's one of the earliest Psalms that we have in the book of Psalms. And it's headed in our Bibles, A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. So as we read this, it's actually a prayer that Moses says on behalf of the people. And it would have been read out in the temple precincts as a prayer for the people of God. So as you listen to the words being read, this is a prayer for you. Those who love Jesus Christ, those who follow God, those who love his word, this is a prayer for you. It reminds us about God in the past, present, and future. And that's why I've chosen this psalm to consider for our end of year service. So we'll start at verse 1. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, whatever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or by reason of strength 80, but their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen. Got a copy of God's word. Turn with me now to Psalm 90, as we consider the end of the year and look forward to 2026. I'm going to read two verses from Psalm 90 just to focus our attention, to look at teach us and satisfy us. In verse 12, Moses writes, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And then look down at verse 14. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for this prayer that Moses wrote to pray for your people. And we pray, Lord, that as we read these words, that your spirit would work a work of grace in our hearts and our minds. We pray, Lord, the truth and reality of your word would penetrate in not just into our thinking and our minds, but also into our hearts. That, Lord, we may be encouraged and built up in our faith. That, Lord, you would teach us. That, Lord, you would satisfy us for all our days. And we commit ourselves into your hands now. Amen. Amen. You will notice that at the beginning of this psalm is that little subphrase. Often in your Bibles, it's actually in capital letters. And that's because that is the first line in the Hebrew psalm. So Psalm 90 doesn't actually start with, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. But Psalm 90 actually begins with a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And that's how we should read the Psalms. That's the very first line that would have been read out to instruct everybody who was listening to that psalm, whether it was a prayer or whether it was actually to be sung in worship. And Moses writes this prayer to ask God for mercy upon weak human beings. And we'll go through the psalm shortly. It also describes this prayer as Moses, the man of God. We find in Deuteronomy chapter 34 that when Moses was coming to the end of his life, he had led the people out of Egypt. He had led them out of slavery. He had taken this people who were often grumbling and complaining, both against Moses and Aaron, but also against God. Why have you brought us out here to die in the desert? They weren't trusting in God. But Moses was a willing servant. In fact, he has become a man who talked face to face with God. And in chapter 34 in Deuteronomy, we find the end of Moses' life. And we find a phrase in here that describes Moses. And verse 10 of Deuteronomy 34, and there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. You see, Moses had that ability to be called the man of God. Not because he was boasting, but because he knew God and he can talk with God face to face. How did that happen? Well, God initiated it. God spoke out of that burning bush that wasn't consumed by the fire, and God called Moses to himself and said, you are going to be the one who's going to lead my people out of slavery, out of bondage. Moses put up lots of arguments. He said, no, but I can't do this. I'm not a strong man. I've got a stutter and a stammer. I'm not able to speak. And so God already had a plan in progress. No, your brother Aaron will speak for you. You just tell Aaron what to say. Aaron has a commanding voice. He will speak and proclaim. But you will speak my words. And then later, as they led the people out of Egypt into towards Israel, God then spoke with Moses on a daily basis. In fact, when Moses went to speak with God and to pray with God, he would often come out of the tent of meeting and his face would be glowing and it would frighten the people. So he had to put a veil over his face because the glory of God shone out of him. And it's fitting at the end of Moses' life that we find in Deuteronomy, there was not a prophet like Moses whom the Lord knew face to face. So when Moses actually wrote this psalm and he said, prayer of Moses, the man of God, he wasn't boasting. This wasn't arrogance. This was actually a man who knew his God. And he wanted to share that out with the people through this prayer. As Moses prays for the people on behalf of them to a loving and compassionate God. So remember, this is a prayer for those who love God. And in this prayer, I want to look at three things: praise, perception, and plea. And it's centered around verse 12 and verse 14. So teach us and satisfy us. As we consider the end of one year and the beginning of a new year, what have we learnt in this past year? What are we going to carry forward with us to a new year? And how do we see God at work in our circumstances? And that's why we get praise, perception, and plea. I've already said when we read this psalm also talks about what God has done in the past, what God is doing in the present, and what God will do in the future. And I could have equally have divided up the psalm in that fashion. But it's good to consider praise, perception and plea, because that follows the structure of this psalm. So first of all, praise for God, verses 1 to 2. Moses writes this praise for God. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You see, the first thing we can understand is that God has been our home. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. That word dwelling place actually is the word refuge. And it's often a reference in the Old Testament for somewhere that is safe, where you feel safe and secure. Often we can think about home. Our very homes are places of safety. We feel safe when we've gone back into our home, we've locked the front door, and we feel safe where we are. And Moses reminds the people that God has been our dwelling place. Lord, you have been our home in all generations. It's interesting when we consider what God is doing in the lives of people. Isn't it wonderful that we can see God at work in generations? We can see God saving people to faith in Christ. And then we see there another generation coming to faith in Christ. And if we're blessed, we might see a third generation coming to faith in Christ. In some churches, I've known, there are four generations of those coming to faith in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Where God is at grace and mercy, and he brings people to salvation in all generations, God is at work. Lord, you have been our home in all generations. From year to year, God is still at work in bringing those that we love and care for in our family and friends, in our extended family, to faith in Christ, that they would actually be God's dwelling place. Secondly, God has always been there. Verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Just think of that. Before even planet Earth existed, before this blue planet was created, God existed. He has always been there. There was never a time and a moment where God did not exist. Sometimes we face difficult situations and we think, where are you, God, in this situation? He always has been, reigning supreme as the Creator God who loves us with an everlasting love, a steadfast love. Even before the mountains came into being, even before the earth was formed, right from even before time began, you are God. You have always been there. And that should comfort us to think that God is there right from eternity past, and he will always be there to eternity future. And then we also see that God has no constraints. Have a look at verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. A watch in the night was 4-hour period. What Moses is saying is that, God, you are outside of time. You're outside of our time frame. And that just as yesterday took place, for you, it's almost like 1,000 years. Just consider that. In God's view, Christ died on the cross 2 days ago. And yet we think of hundreds and thousands of years. We think of time. God is outside of that time. He has no constraints. And because of that, God has a plan and a purpose of salvation to bring people to all generations to faith in Christ. And so we have the confidence to praise God that he has always been our home, that he has always been there and he always will be there, and that he is outside of time. We might think, why is this going? Why is this happening to me now? When will this stop? Because we're constrained by time. God is not. God is outside of our time frame. He is the one who is in control of the whole universe, and by his word is kept in motion. We can praise God for what God has done for us in the past. But then also we have a perception of ourselves. Perception of ourselves, verses 3 to 12, where Moses, actually in this psalm, explains to the people what they're really like. He doesn't sugarcoat, or he doesn't praise them or puff them up. He actually talks about the fact that we are frail, that we are weak, that we are sinful, that our days are short. And we see three things out of it. First of all, our days are hard. Our days are hard. Verse 3. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For a thousand years in your sight are but as yesterday, when it's past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream. Like grass is renewed in the morning it flourishes and renewed, in the evening it fades and withers. You see, our days are hard. Our days are short as well. But they are hard because of the brevity and the frailty of our lives. There are times when we fall sick, where our health is not what it should be. There are times when we find difficult relationships, when we find there is brokenness in our family. There are times when we find that things do not go according to our plan, that we feel like that things are spiraling out of control. And it affects us. Sometimes we feel like we get in a lot of stress and our heart beats faster. Our days are hard. And Moses acknowledges that. He talks about our frailty. He talks about how we have come from dust and we return to dust. That's our cycle of life. But he also talks about how God actually can sweep away people. And there are times when our lives are fragile, are brief, and our lives will end in death. Not something we often think about. But Moses being realistic here, our days are hard. He also talks about our days are short. He talks here in verse 10 about the brevity of life. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, but their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. You see, Moses spells out the brevity of life, that our lives, we don't live forever. 70, or reason of strength, 80, and whatever happens after that is by God's grace, and by God's grace alone. When we're young, we think we can live forever. We actually think, well, I'm young. You can't think about what it's like to when you're 50 or 60 or 70 or 80. And we begin to believe in ourselves that we'll live forever, that life will go on. But 7 or 8 decades is the span of our lives. And we are soon gone and we fly away. Moses spells out the brevity of life. But secondly, he also spells out the sadness of life. Have a look at verse 10. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. The word toil is a Hebrew word for struggle. And the word trouble is actually sorrow. Sometimes there is struggle and sorrow in our lives. Not always. God is gracious to us. He brings good things into our lives. But there is times of struggle and sorrow. And Moses spells out that's what life is like. And even those who trust in God and believe and follow God, we're not immune from the fallenness of this world. We're not immune from the fact that we have bodies which will age and decay. And we must accept that our days are short. And then thirdly, our days are numbered. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. We're not going to live forever. And Moses says that in spite of all our frailty and our weakness in our lives, the toil and trouble that we might go through, teach us to number our days. Think about how you live your life. And think about how you're going to live your life going forward. So we've been reflecting upon 2025, and we're thinking about how we're going to go forward for a new year in 2026. We are to number our days. Why? Well, Moses tells us that we are to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. We may gain wisdom. What has God been doing in this situation that I can learn, that I can apply to my faith, in my following Christ and following God, that help me to grow, that I might take forward into the new year? That's a heart of wisdom. How do I take God's word and apply it into my life and to the life of the ones that I love? How can I pray these words for the ones that I love and care for? That God would teach them to number their days, that they may get a heart of wisdom. That those who do not yet know Christ would begin to realize they don't live forever. What are they going to do when they die? When they face God? What answers are they going to give to God when they have to give an account of their lives? Our prayer is that God would teach them to number their days, that they may get a heart of wisdom. That they would begin to see the truth of who God is and what God has done. We are to consider to gain a heart of wisdom. We also think about how do we use our time. Do we spend our time frivolously, just wildly and idly? Or are we constructive with our time? Do we, in what areas do we need wisdom? Do we need to change? I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions. I'm thinking about things that we need to change in our spiritual walk that will help us to grow closer to God and help us to walk closer with Christ each and every day, despite our circumstances. So we have to think about our perception of ourselves, and that's what the middle part of the psalm. Now, you might be thinking, John, this has been quite depressing. You've been talking here about how the fact that we have our days are numbered, and our days are short, and our days are hard, and there is toil and trouble, and, you know, where is the goodness in our message? Well, that comes in the end of it, the psalm, a plea for God's mercy, verses 13 to 17. Where Moses says, "Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants." This is a prayer plea. And the plea is to satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of your hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of your hands. You see, Moses looks forward and prays for the people that God himself would satisfy them in the morning with what? With prosperity? With wealth? With good business, with lots of children and grandchildren, with a better house, a better prospects for next year, with better health, that we may improve, that that diagnosis comes back, that all is well and it's clear? No. Satisfy in the morning with your steadfast love. You see, Moses was pointing people to say, look to him. Look to God. Look to his steadfast love. That word steadfast love is the word hesed. It means a faithful love. Where a love that will not let you down. A love that will not leave you alone. A love that is steadfast. God's love never wavers. Our love wavers. Depends on how we feel, how we think, how we're often we're stressed or burdened, what burdens that we carry in our hearts and minds, doubts that creep into our minds. It affects how we love one another and how we trust in God. God's love is steadfast. It never wavers. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. There should be a real joy in your heart despite your circumstances. Why? Because God loves you with an everlasting love, a steadfast love. And that should satisfy us in the mornings. We never know what we're going to wake up to in the morning. We have our plans. We may have our lists of jobs to do. We may have our meal plans all organized. We have our shopping deliveries all sorted. But we don't know actually what we're going to wake up to in the morning. But one thing that we are sure, that when we wake up in the morning, God's steadfast love will be the same. And he will satisfy us with his steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days, despite what is going on in our lives. And that's the plea that Moses has for his people, for God's mercy, that they would see and be satisfied in the morning. Now, you might be thinking, how do we put that into practice? How do we actually think about that going into 2026 for a new year? How do we think about that steadfast love? How do we think about the love that God has for us forever and ever and ever and ever? His unchanging steadfast love. Well, as we reflect upon 2025, we also have to consider that this has been a year of transformation and growth. And my prayer is that each one of you who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, that your faith is growing and maturing. That no matter what life throws at you, no matter what you experience and the situation you find yourselves in now, that you are growing in your faith, that there is maturity in your faith, that you are being transformed, that you are no longer the person you were last Christmas, and you are actually a stronger person in faith in Christ, and that you are growing in your faith, that we may indeed be those who are satisfied by the steadfast love for all our days and beyond. But it's also here a promise that we find. When Moses prays a plea of mercy, he ends on verse 17. He says, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. You see, as we serve the Lord, both in our families, with our friends, our neighbors, as we serve the Lord here in the church, we are looking for the favor of the Lord, our God, to be upon us. As we go into next year, what is our prayer for next year? That the favor of the Lord, our God, will be upon us. That his love will be upon us, each and every one of us individually, as we go back to our places of work, back to our homes, back to our neighbors, but also as congregationally, as a church, that the favor of the Lord will be upon us, that he will establish the work of our hands, that as we serve him, we don't serve him with emptiness, we don't serve him and don't see any return, we actually see the favor of the Lord as he establishes the work of our hands, as he establishes how we serve one another, as we care for one another, as we love one another, as we show practical concern for each other, that the favor of the Lord would be upon us. And as 2026 unfolds, I have no idea what 2026 holds for us. God does. He already has a plan and a purpose for your life. Let the favor of the Lord be upon us. Let him establish the works of your hands. Let him be the one who actually grounds you in your faith, that you may grow in your faith, that as the year rolls on, that you would indeed be taught a heart of wisdom, and that you would be satisfied by the steadfast love of God. Amen.